2 Timothy 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let's go to God in prayer, and I ask you to pray for me. Father, I pray now that you would help us this evening. I pray now for the touch of God in my life. I pray that you might anoint me. Lord, I'm undeserving to stand and preach the word of God, but you have called me. And Father, we plead, dear Lord, that you might help us for a few moments this afternoon to preach the word of God, the message that you have us to preach. Well, without a doubt, somebody here needs to hear what you've got to say through me. And Father, I pray that you might now fill me. I pray that the Spirit of God will fill this place and you'd encourage the people of God. Help us, oh Lord, to be mindful of thee. And Lord, may you do a great work in our midst. We'll give you the honor and the glory and the praise, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to focus your attention for just a little while in verse number 3 and verse number 4, where he said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now, when I got saved by the grace of God, thank God I got birth into the family of God. I got put, thank God, among God's people, adopted, amen. I got born again and put in the family of God, in the house of God. I got put in the body of Christ when I got saved. But friend, when I got saved, I got drafted into the army of God. And whether you realize it tonight or not, we are in a battle with the devil and with this world and with our flesh. We are in a spiritual war that we are, my friend, in a matter of thinking, losing on the outward appearance. Yes, we know we're going to win, but I'm telling you, God's people are falling everywhere, falling to the devil, falling to sin, and falling to the flesh. And friend, we are in a battle. And Paul, realizing now that the world that we are in, trying to help the young preacher come along, his son Timothy, son in the faith, he said, "Timothy, if you're ever going to do anything for God, if you're ever going to stand for God, you better buckle up and get ready to endure some hardness. You're going to have some hard times. You're going to have some struggles. You're going to have a fight on your hand if you're ever going to do anything for God." Then he goes on to verse number 4. Almost seems like he changed the subjects, but instead he continues and says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Timothy, if you're ever going to fight the fight, if you're ever going to win some victories, if you're ever pull down some strongholds, Timothy, you better not entangle yourself. You better not find yourself overcome. I'm telling you, we're living in a day where there's very little enlightenment to the spiritual battle that we are in. But my friend, those that do understand that we are in a battle are trying to fight a spiritual battle while in spiritual bondage. Trying to war a fight and try to gain victory and gain ground while they're tied up. Are you listening, my friend? I want to preach on with this thought of mine of God to help us on. You cannot battle while in bondage. You cannot battle while in bondage. Preacher, my spiritual life seems to have stalled out, and I'm not gaining no ground. Could it be that you're in bondage this morning? I'm not having any victory in my life. May I tell you, when God saved us, God equipped us with everything we needed to have victory. To conquer sin, to conquer the world, and to stand our ground. And if we're running backwards, if we can't gain no ground, if there's no victory, we have found ourselves entangled. have found ourselves caught up. You can't fight the fight of faith when you're entangled. You can't do it. There's no spiritual battle you can war and win in spiritual bondage. I want you to look at verse number 4, and I want to look at real quickly on this about this bondage. Who is responsible, the responsibility of this bondage? Paul said, no man that warreth entangleth himself. The reason why the Christian soldier finds himself entangled, he is there of his own choosing. He is there of his own decisions. He is found there because he desires to be there. That's the only reason why he's there. He has made a decision. He has made a decision to entangle himself. Now, when God saved us, God made us free. Amen. God gave us liberty. As a Christian, we have liberty. We have freedom. Amen. God saved us and made us free indeed. We can enjoy Christian liberty in our life. Are you listening? What is it that made us free? I'll tell you what it was. It was day, Brother Josh, when I heard truth. And I found myself on an altar repented of that truth. When I heard truth and walked in it, praise God, I found freedom and liberty through salvation. But may I tell you, friend, the same goes if you're going to experience Christian liberty, that you better walk in truth. If you refuse that truth that God reveals to you from his holy word, I'm telling you, you'll find yourself in bondage. You'll find yourself entangled. You had better walk in truth. He said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But if you reject the truth, you better mark it down. You'll find yourself entangled every time. You'll find yourself in bondage. This responsibility come about with a decision by the farmer that was personal. Quit pointing fingers at everybody else for the shape you're in. Quit pointing fingers at your mom and daddy. Quit pointing fingers at your friends. Quit pointing fingers at everybody and just realize the mess that you're in, you're there because you chose to be there. You made the choice. You're in the shape you're in because you rejected truth. When God, I'm telling you, as a child of God, the Spirit of God will deal with you. If you're saved by the grace of God, the Spirit of God will deal with you when you're wrong. The glory to God, when he sent the Holy Ghost, he said the Spirit will come to you, and he said he will guide you in all truth. And when you reject it, mark it down, you're headed for trouble. Every time. I'm telling you, my Christian walk with God, which has been about, I think, 14, 17 years now that I've been saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, my friend, the only time I've ever found trouble in my Christian walk is when I heard the man of God give me truth and I turned a deaf ear to it. I'm telling you, that's where we'll find the trouble. The reason why we're in the mess we're in is because God, I'm telling you, we're living in a generation that has known more truth than it's ever known before. The greatest men of God that God has revealed truth to, more truth to, stand in the pulpit today. I believe that with all my heart. You listen, truth is being revealed, but truth is being rejected. Amen. And the reason why Paul said this soldier is entangled is because he entangled himself and made a decision that's personal. You say, preacher, I don't know of anything in my life right now. And this is where God helped me. God gave me this verse, so you just bear with me. This is brand new. But when God saved me, you say, preacher, there's nothing in my life right now that I can say is sinful that I have in my life right now. I've got it as clean as I can get it. I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, real quick. Real quick, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Again, another familiar passage of scripture. Let's read it together. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. That word beset, I had in my mind its meaning. Derail us from the will of God, something that would cause us to stray out of that race. But when I looked up that word beset, what it was meaning was it meant to skillfully surround. Sound like entangled to me. It means to skillfully surround. And Paul says, again, that the sin that so easily besets us, it is something that surrounds us, something that will captivate us, something that will ensnare us. But what caught my attention in the Holy Ghost dealing with my heart was that word beset. And it's used in its singular form, right, Miss Farmer? It's used singular. And we know that in subject, verb, agreement, and grammar, I'm not going to get into that because I'm not qualified to teach it. But when you get in that verb beset, a singular verb requires a plural subject. Yet he says the sin. So what it seems to say grammatically is to point back not only to the sin, but every weight. Let me tell you something, my friend. This is what the Holy Ghost dealt my heart about. I could have my life cleaned up. But there's some things, and let me give you this quote. Preacher gave me this quote, so it's good. Number one, he said, if it's something you've got to hide in your life, it's sin. But if it's something you have to excuse all the time, it's a weight. There's a lot of things we can say, this isn't sin. But when the Holy Ghost deals with something, we've got all kinds of excuses. Amen, preacher. I'm telling you, I can see it going through your mind. Man, I've got excuses for this. I can make myself feel good about this. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost says it's wrong, I don't care if you can get up your excuses. If the Holy Ghost said get it out of your life, you better get it out, because it leads to the same problem of besetting and getting entangled in bondage. I'm talking about just a weight. Just a weight. Don't have to be a sin tater. It can just be a weight. Something that you can excuse and you feel good. It'll get you in trouble. It's a decision that's personal. Rejecting truth that's been revealed. Number two, it then involves a directed path. Yes, it does. It involves a directed path, because the path that God reveals to us in His will is always done His way. And His way will always be by His word. Every time. And if you're going to walk in His will, you've got to walk by that word. And when you reject truth, you mark it down, you're out of the will of God. It's that simple. When you reject the truth God reveals to you, you will be out of the will of God. You will step out of the wheel, get out of the way, and you'll go your own way. And when you step out of the way, that way that's lit with the light of God's word, you will step out in darkness. Preacher, I want to live for God, but I want to do some things my own way. I'm telling you, you will turn your back on truth. I don't care how bad you may say you want to serve God and end up at the end of the finish line victorious and God saying, my child, well done. I'm telling you, you'll step out in darkness. And you can try to make your own way, but I'm telling you, walking in darkness is a very dangerous thing to do. Because the darkness is full of His snares. He's got all kinds of traps out there for you. You step out in darkness, you're stepping out in a very dangerous area. And you'll walk. You'll walk and you'll try to make your way. And the next thing you know, you're snagged. And you'll fight and you'll push, you'll pull, you'll kick. You may even scream and holler. But I'm telling you, next thing you know, both feet are tangled up. And you're not moving nowhere. Then you'll reach your hands down there to grab a hold and try to get some loose, try to get some liberty. I'm telling you, you're just going to get your hands tangled up too. And before you know it, you're not just tangled, you're entangled.
Right.
You are overwhelmed. You are wrapped up.
Right.
Let me tell you something. The truth that you rejected back there on the will of God and you went your own way, that sin may not be the same sin that's overwhelming you. Because when you reject truth, that in itself is sin. But when you reject truth and you turn out of the will of God, you are subjecting yourself to be overcome with every sin imaginable. We think, Brother Josh, it is a slow process when there is sin. But I'm telling you, there is no limit to where sin's going to take you. There is no imaginable end to where it's all going to stop. Before long, you'll find your life wrapped up, overcome, and overwhelmed with perversion. And it might have just started with a weight. Might have just started with a weight. You will find yourself dominion of sin in your life. Like a fly that flies into a spider's web and gets entangled. And it may struggle. It may fight. Are you listening? It may do everything imaginable, get out, but it will not get out. Before it's done fighting, it'll be wore out. And entangled, wrapped up in sin's snare. Responsibility of this bondage. Number two, I want to look at the restraints of this bondage. When bondage has ensnared and bondage has enslaved, what is it that binds it? What is its power? What is that? May I say that the bonds of sin can deal with these four areas. These are very broad, and we could probably look at a bunch of more of them. But may I say, number one, I thought about the bonds of sin being the filthiness of sin. I thought about it being the fads, the fashions, and fellowship with society. I thought about the fleshiness of the self and the falsehood of Satan. Those things being the strength of sin in the life of a child of God. But what is it? We understand those are snares. We understand that's where it'll lead. But what is its power? What is the filthiness of sin's power over us? What is it? Well, may I say that I believe tonight or this afternoon that the filthiness of sin's power is its pleasure. For he said there is pleasure in sin for a season. And it's amazing to me when you see a child of God begin to partake of the filthiness of sin, how they get, Brother Josh, a little bit of a taste and a little appeasement of the pleasure that it offers. And the next thing you know, they're living the rest of their days searching and seeking for just a little more appeasement. Just a little bit more of something to satisfy them. Seeking for pleasure. While all the while there are pleasures at the right hand of God forevermore. Pleasure. I thought about that fad, the fashions, the fellowship with society, the bonds, the bondage of this social world that we're living in is its pressure. It's its pressure. The only reason why some of you are doing the things that you're doing is because you know somebody else is doing it. Amen. The reason why you're dressing the way you're dressing is because you know somebody else is doing it. The reason why you're acting and talking like the way you're talking is because you know somebody else is doing it. The reason why you're watching the movies you're watching is because you know somebody else who does. Bonded by pressure. That's what makes this social network, I call the social network, Brother Gene Mathias just told me, he said, call it a sinful network. From Yahoo to Facebook to whatever else there is. I'm telling you, that its strength and its power, its very life, it's a pressure on people. It's wicked. It's ungodly. You'll find yourself in bondage. You will find yourself entangled, overwhelmed, But you can't get rid of it, can you? You know why? It's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of friends I got on those networks. If I shut it off, my, what would they think of me? It's pressure. Pressure. I'm telling you, that pressure binds and overwhelms and overpowers. The fleshiness of self. My, how we could preach about our wicked, ungodly flesh. And its pride, its ego. How wicked it is. Paul couldn't put no confidence in it. He said, if any man could, he said, I could. But I can't. Can't put no confidence in it. I tell you what, the works of the flesh in Paul's life wrecked churches and homes and families. Paul said he couldn't trust it. You can't either. You can't trust your flesh. You can't do it. It's prideful. The falsehood of Satan. I said this before and I'll say it again. It don't matter how many times you get a man of God to get behind the pulpit and say, man, I have been there. I have searched for the answer. I have sought for peace out in the world and it's left me nothing but scars. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. It seems the more the man of God cries, the more deafened the people of God become. Always seems that the devil can always put a question mark somewhere in somebody's mind and saying, you just might be the exception. You just might be the exception. I'm telling you, the power of Satan thrives on the falsity and the fantasy of sin. Grabbing for something, and all it is like a cloud, and you can't never grab it. You'll chase and there'll be nothing there. Empty. Empty. False. A fantasy. No pleasure in it. But it binds. It binds. It overwhelms. So we have a soldier who has found himself entangled because of the truth he's rejected, the darkness he walked in. And he's overpowered by sin. Now, may I notice the results of bondage real quickly and I'll be done. The results of bondage. Up to this point, the state of the Christian soldier, his well-being has been a result of his own choosing and his own actions. It is as if the fly has went into the spider's web and is entangled. And the spider's done nothing but sit on the side and watch. And that's what Satan's doing. He watches you reject truth. Watches you find yourself overpowered by sin because of the darkness. And then he comes onto the scene to take you captive by his will. He will step on the scene then. What kind of soldier, what kind of man would you be, Brother Will, if you didn't go out without a fight? So you'll gather what strength you have left. You'll pull, you'll strain, you push. And you will try your best to get in a position to defend yourself and to fight to no avail. You cannot escape that bondage in your own power. And Satan will come out and take the biggest man and tie him up real good and strong. And I can come up there and whoop him. It's not going to be a fight. It's going to be a beating. It's going to be a beating. Satan don't have to do anything. Just show up. And you'll wear yourself out trying to fight the fight of faith. When you're entangled with flesh, you'll be exhausted spiritually. You will waste your energy, and the devil will come and devour your life as you are there in bondage. Waste your energy. There'll be a woeful execution. Let me tell you, sin has never done anything but destroy. Sin has always and will always reign unto death. Amen.
the life that God birthed inside of each one of our hearts and lives when he saved us, you better mark it down. When we sin against God, there's a part of that life that dies. And only God can revive it. Satan will kill you. He's not out playing games. He came here to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He means serious business. There's a woeful execution. May I say there's a winless effort in this bondage. Find yourself in bondage, find yourself sin, you find yourself failing, fail before God. As a child of God, you're miserable, you're overcome, you're spiritually dead. You'll run to the altar. You will get things right with God. You will beg for God's forgiveness, and he is faithful and just to forgive you. You will go back to the pew. There will be joy inside of your heart because things have been restored. Only a week later to find yourself in the same mess you were in. Call it that camp meeting high. Go to camp meeting, get some things right with God. A week later down the road, the zeal's gone. The joy's gone. The vigor's gone. No life. Back in the same mess we were in when we started. What happened? What took place? Did he not forgive? No, he forgave. He forgave. You try to live that life, but you always come up to a problem when God again says, all right, I'll forgive you. Deal with truth. You know where he's going to take you? He's going to take you right back to the same place you strayed out of the will of God. He's going to say, if you're going to be right with me, I'll forgive you. Walk in truth. But we won't walk in truth, and what we spend our lives doing is failing God, getting forgiveness, failing God, getting forgiveness, and we never see any strongholds being pulled down. We never have any battles that we can call victories. No ground being gained. Because we are living, we're trying to battle while we're still in bondage. What is the answer? What is the answer? Real simple. I want you to turn again to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 if you're already there. I want you to look in the latter part of the verse. Verse number 20. Look at verse number 24. The Bible says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Sounds like these people in bondage, doesn't it? If God, I want you to get this, peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. God's always going to take you back to that place where you erred and rejected truth. You will have to accept it. The answer tonight is this. There's going to come a place, time, and a place in your life where you'll bow yourself before God and accept truth. The Bible calls it, there's the repentance. A repentance, turning your back 180 degrees, turn your back and repent to the acknowledging of the truth. I'm tired of going my own way and living my life the way I want to, repenting of it and turning to truth. And walking in the light that God reveals to you. That's the answer. You can experience victory, my friend. You can experience a life, thank God, that he wants us to live. A life of purpose, a life of power, a life of his presence. If we will simply just walk in truth. Simply walk in truth. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. John 8, verse number 32, I quote to you one more time, and ye shall know the acknowledgement. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You can be free, free indeed. Serve God and live a life, thank God, with his liberty and with his touch in your life. And win victories, thank God, because we desire to please him who chosen us to be a soldier. Don't try to battle in bondage, amen. Let's battle and win some victories for God.